I was sharing with Adam on the way in. I said, if I'm a little, Melanie, if I'm a little out of sorts today, you know, just have some grace and mercy on me today because it's just been a long week. So, but it's all good. And so if you take your Bible and open to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you need a Bible, there should be some under the chairs in front of you. For those of you who've been visiting with us, we've been working our way through this letter, the book of 1 Peter. For quite a while, about 45 Sundays, actually. So we're on number 46, so you got here for this one. And the main topic that we're going to look at today is the topic of humility. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 7 from 1 Peter chapter 5. And there we find Peter say this, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." In verse 5, we see that Peter begins by addressing the young men. Now, when you get into the Greek, you find that it could really be translated young people in general, is what Peter there is speaking to, or who he's speaking to. And this verse really ties into what we looked at last week, and I know many of you weren't here last week. But last week, we talked about the role of elders within the local body of Christ, those spiritual shepherds, those leaders that are placed in a local congregation or local body there. And we see that in that term, elders, it implies that they have some authority within the local church. And so therefore, God's people are subject or they're to submit themselves to the elders or the spiritual shepherds that God has placed within that fellowship. We see this recorded in Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." We see this phrase, "keep watch," often in the New Testament. And it's written either to spiritual leaders or in light of spiritual leaders. And when we're writing to spiritual shepherds, or what we might call elders. Now, a quick note on verse 5 as we go back to that. The NIV translates it this way, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older." And certainly, we should respect our elders. We talked about that last week. But a better way really to translate this, I know the ESV has it this way. It says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders." So in light of this context, Peter has been speaking about the spiritual authority within the church. This is kind of the sense of the passage here, that he's speaking to the young people. Hey, you also are subject to the spiritual leaders within the local fellowship. Well, why does Peter speak directly to the young people here? Because after all, everybody is to be subject to the elders, whether you're young or whether you're old. Why does he do that? Well, sometimes it's good to be specific so that you leave no room for doubt. How many of you have ever had that happen to you? I know I have. When I was in 11th grade, I can still think back to my English teacher, Mrs. Sherman, and she would often say this, "Okay, class, for homework, all of you have to read chapters 6 and 7 of Moby Dick. And Eric, that goes for you too." See, she would be very specific, letting me know that I'm included in this all. It's not just all the guys or all the girls or all the people with genes, but it is everybody, including you, Eric. You need to do your homework as well. And this is really what Peter is doing here. Hey, young people, I've spoken to everybody about being subject to the elders, but I'm talking to you too, and I don't forget that. Young people. So why does Peter, again, specifically speak to the young people? I don't believe Peter here is in any way quote, picking on the young people. You know, we've got some young people here, right? He's not picking on them. He's not looking down his nose at them and saying, hey, when you guys get my age, then you'll know what life is really about. I don't believe he's doing that in any way. But Peter knows this, that generally speaking, there's a tendency in many young people to rebel against authority or to despise any kind of authority. We see that often. Again, not every young person, but we see this happen. There's often an attitude in young people that says this, hey, this is my life. Go ahead with your own life and, Billy Joel, leave me alone, right? Just leave me alone. This is often the mindset of our young people. Or, oh, come on, you people. Get with the times, right? Don't you know that these things are acceptable nowadays? Often young people can have this mindset. Peter knew that it was often the young who would rally the masses and sing these words. You say you want a revolution. Well, you know we all want to change the world. Peter knew that it was often the young who wanted to be, quote, progressive. And now that can be good at times. If things are bad and stale, then it's good to be progressive. But often, being progressive simply means this. People are digressing from the very truths of God, from the commands of God, the very words of God. And Peter didn't want that happen to the young people. He didn't want them to digress from the scriptures, from the truths of God. And so that's why he says this. Peter was really concerned here about rebelling against spiritual authority. Now, if you were here back in chapter 2, remember that Peter addressed being submissive to the worldly authorities. Back in chapter 2, we heard Peter say this in verse 13. He said, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority. And he would go on to say in verse 14, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. And in verse 17, he said, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the king. So in Peter's mind, it was important for people to be subject to the government, the governing authorities. And now in chapter 5, he's talking about spiritual authority. He says, hey, be subject to those in authority, especially you young people. We see the Apostle Paul also knew the importance of shepherds who were to keep watch over the flock. And he knew that just one person with a loud voice could lead many young people astray. And so listen to what Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 31. He says to the Ephesian elders, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Then here Paul speaking to those who were shepherds, spiritual, those in spiritual authority over the flock. And he said, you guys be careful. Watch out for those who may rise up and try to lead people away. And often it's young people that are led astray. So to all those who are, quote, young people today, we've got many this morning. God's will for you is that you be subject to those who are spiritual authorities over you. Whether it's pastors, deacons, however your church government is set up, elders, God calls you to be subject to them. However, there's one caveat. You know what that is? If those in authority fail to teach you what's in here, if they tell you to do something that's not in here, then you're not called to be subject to them. Okay, you can be a little rebellious. How's that? Just only at that point. Only at that point, though. Okay. All right. I'm done picking on you, young people. All right. So now it's time for the old people. Actually, it's time for everybody. Let's look at what Peter says in second half of verse 5. He goes on to say, "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." We see there's a great connection here between submission and humility. They really go hand in hand. Just as young people, if you're humble, you're going to submit to those in authority, so too those who are older. If we're humble, we're going to submit to those who have spiritual authority over us. Again, you could be 90 years old, but guess what? If there's someone who's has spiritual authority over you, you're called to be submissive to them. Peter here says, clothe yourselves with humility. This is a common phrase in the Bible, to clothe ourselves. We see the Apostle Paul say this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. He says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Raise your hand if you got dressed this morning. Very good. I can kind of tell you're all dressed. But actually, it's possible that maybe one or two of you got dressed last night, right? And then just kind of woke up this morning and came. I had a pastor friend who told me one of the churches he had, I think it was out in Maine somewhere, where the family would do this. They would take their Saturday night baths, and the kids would get their suits on. And they'd be all ready for church. They'd get dressed Saturday night, so all they had to do Sunday was just come to church like that. And you could tell. You could tell when they came in that they had slept in their clothes and they had taken their bath and their hair was kind of sticking up. That was before it was popular to have your hair sticking up. And this is kind of what they did, which actually makes for a great sermon about how to be prepared for Sunday morning worship, right, on a Saturday night. But we'll save that for another day. But yes, we all wear clothes. And so what Peter is saying here is this. Clothes are what everybody sees, right? You know today I have a purple shirt on and a tie. You see that. Peter says this. Hey, people of God, when people look at you, let them see humility. Let them see humility rather than pride. Webster defines humility this way. He says, it is the absence of pride or self-assertion. Do you assert yourself? And you may be thinking, well, wait a minute now, of course I do. If I didn't assert myself, I wouldn't get up in the morning and get myself ready and go off to work and do, I wouldn't accomplish anything if I didn't assert myself. Well, this is not the kind of self-assertion that Webster is describing. But he's talking about this self-assertion that you've always got to put yourself out there. You've always got to make sure that people know your thoughts and your opinions, even if they really don't ask. And they may not even want to know. You're always asserting yourself. You're giving your thoughts. You're giving your opinions. You're putting yourself out there. You're exalting yourself. If humility is the absence of self-assertion, then there should not be a lot of talking about oneself. It's just natural. Now, obviously, it's not bad to talk about yourself, is it? Someone comes up and says, hey, Tom, what do you do for a living? And how many kids do you have? And you're gonna tell them, right? You're not going to say, well, I'm humble and I'm not telling you, right? That would actually be rude, right? I mean, you want to be kind and you want to tell people when they ask you things like that. But to always be forthright and always talking about yourself is this idea, again, of really the self-assertion. Let me ask you, is there humility in your speech? When you do talk about yourself, because we all do at times, is there a recognition of God's grace, His undeserved favor in your life? Do we speak and act as those who have received an incredible amount of mercy in our lives? Or do we sound more like old Frankie Remember Frankie, right? I did it my way, right? Humility also has to do with being other-minded. We see this in Philippians 2. Let's look at that. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. For those of you who were at the wedding yesterday, one of the things Josh shared in his best man speech, is that what it was? Something like that. He said, Jesus, I may not get it exactly right, sorry Josh, but Jesus never lived one moment for himself. Because he didn't come to please himself, he always lived for others. And this is a great sign of humility when we're concerned more about others than we are ourselves. Humility is not only displayed in our disposition toward each other, but also in our disposition toward God. We see this in verse 6, where Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And again, in verse 5, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Why is it so important to have a humble spirit before God? Because he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And the hard thing about pride is that often we fail to see our own pride. It may be easy to see pride in other people, isn't it? When we look out, we look at someone like, say, we'll pick on the president, sorry. Well, President Trump, we look at him and we may say, I wish he was just a little bit more humble. Yeah, he acts like he never does anything wrong, and he's the best at everything. You just like to see a little bit of humility there. We see it in other people, but do we see it in ourselves? Do we see any pride in our lives? Some questions for you today and for me as well. Are there pockets of pride that exist in our lives? Do we love attention? Do we love to have people praise us for the things we do? Do we tend to make sure people know our opinions on every subject matter? Do we get easily offended when someone doesn't like what we like? Do we always sit in judgment of the actions of others? Do we fail to extend grace and mercy to others because, well, we'd never do that? If so, then know this, God opposes that kind of attitude. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What kind of attitude does God desire to see in us? The attitude that we just sang about. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you every hour, not just every hour, but every second I need you. God, I need to depend upon your grace. God, everything I have is from you. Every ability you give me is from you. Every penny I earn is from you. That is what God wants to see in his people. Well, what are some results of humility? Just want to look at three quick results of humility today. The first is grace. Again, we're told by Peter, quoting from the Proverbs, that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. How many of you want more of God's grace in your life? If you're here today and you say, nah, I'm good, that is a clear indication that there's some pride in your life, because we need his grace. Not just his saving grace to be saved from our sins and to be spared from the flames of hell, but his sustaining grace. The grace to simply walk this Christian life, to be obedient to him. We need his grace each and every day. For what did Jesus say? He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what, church? You can do Nada. Nothing. You like that one, Andy? You like nada?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nothing. In other words, no good thing, no God-pleasing thing apart from abiding in Christ. And that takes a humble attitude. It takes an attitude that depends upon His grace. We need His grace. Second result is that God will lift you up. When I'm being proud, then guess what I'm doing? I'm lifting myself up. I'm exalting myself. But if I'm going to be humble and you're going to be humble, then we're going to lower ourselves and we're going to allow God to lift us up. It's interesting what Peter says here. He says, humble yourselves and God will lift you up in due time. That means if I humble myself and God may not lift me up today, that's okay. Maybe God does it tomorrow. That's okay. Maybe God waits until I'm glorified in heaven and He raises me up there. I should have the edge of this. That's okay. That's okay because God wants me to be low. God wants me to be humble. He'll raise me up in due time. And that's His choice when He's going to raise me up. Whether it's here on this earth or in glory. But He'll do it. He'll do it guaranteed. He will raise you up. And we can praise God for that. The third result is peace. How does one gain peace? Well, verse 7 tells us. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. This is a sermon in itself. I could do that, but we're not going to do that. How do we see humility in this verse here in verse 7? Well, when you and I continually cast our cares upon God, what are we saying? We're saying, God, I'm not in control. You are. When we try to control things and when we get all hyped up because things aren't going our way or things aren't going fast enough, the result is what? Worry and anxiety, which is a form of pride when you get to the root of the matter. And when that happens, there is no peace to be found. That's why a life filled with prayer is a life of humility, and the result of humility is peace. Final scripture I want to look at today comes out of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I know very familiar to most of you. The Apostle Paul here says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the result? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Humility leads to prayer, and prayer leads to peace. When we don't pray, what does that reveal about our hearts? Now you may say, well, you know what, I'm just going through a rough time, I'm kind of discouraged, and so it's hard to pray. Or you know what, my life has been so busy, I've had this wedding to get ready for, I'm doing all these things, and I just don't have time to pray. Now that may be true, and those may sound like really good excuses, but that's all they are before God, is excuses. Because when I give God those excuses, you know what I'm saying? I got this, God. I got this. I'm okay, God. God, this is more important than You. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's important, but guess what? It's more important than You when I don't take the time to pray. Let me ask you, do you lack the peace of God in your life today? Then I say to you, humble yourself in the sight of God, depend upon Him and trust Him continually. And the final thing I want to share today is that the greatest need we all have is to humble ourselves before the Lord Jesus Christ. Why before Jesus? Well, because He is the sovereign Lord of all. because he is the one that even the demons are subject to. When we read the Gospels, what do we see? The demons trembled. The demons did whatever Jesus said. They were subject to his word. And the word of Christ to each of us today is to repent of our sins, to turn away from our sins, to humble ourselves before God and to embrace Christ. Jesus once, standing before a crowd of people, grabbed a little child and had that child stand before them and said this: whoever wants to enter heaven must humble themselves like this child. And in that culture, children weren't thought too highly of. Now, in our day, we tend to really think a lot of kids, and we lift them up, we do lots of things for them. But in the days of Jesus, children were kind of poo-pooed. You know, they're small, they don't know much. Disciples said, we don't have time for them, Jesus. Let's work with the adults. And Jesus took that child, someone who was low, someone who seemed insignificant in that society, and said, you got to become like this. You need to humble yourself. If you ever have any hope of getting into heaven, what was Jesus saying? Lose yourself. Get off yourself. Lose yourself. Humble yourself before me. Know this, it was pride. It was pride that caused Satan to fall from his position. It was pride that caused Adam and Eve to eat of that fruit so they could become like, or thought they could become like, God. And it is pride that will keep you from the gates of heaven. It is pride that will cause your heart to say, I don't need Jesus. I'm fine. I'm good enough. I'm better than my neighbor. Guess what? On judgment day, God isn't going to care whether you're better than your neighbor. Because the standard is not how bad your neighbor is. The standard is how holy and how good and righteous God is. And guess what? We all fall short of that standard. We're all sinners. And we all need one thing, the grace of Christ to save us and to forgive us. So number one, humble yourself. If you've never humbled yourself before the Lord Jesus, know this, one day you will stand before him as judge. And he will judge every single sin and thought, action and deed that you've done. Why not come to him today and give him your life? Surrender to him. Embrace him as Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the truths that are there. And Lord, we are just people who by nature wrestle with pride. Lord, it doesn't matter who we are, how long we've been a Christian. Pride always has a way of rearing its ugly head in our lives. So Lord, help us to see just the pride in our own hearts. Lord, forgive us when we look at others and condemn them for their pride, when we can't see the pride in our own lives. Lord, help us to look in the mirror. Help me to look in the mirror. Show me my pride and help me to kill it. Help me to mortify it. Help me to crucify it. Lord, help us all to do that. Help us to be people who walk humbly with our God. God, give us the grace to do that. We need that. Lord, even help us now to truly remember the depths of the love of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ as we remember what he did upon the cross for us. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.